Welcome to the Becoming Eva podcast, where we discuss real life issues from a woman's perspective.
Becoming Eva seeks to break the silence within the female community while fostering authenticity, transparency, and healing.
We're your hosts, LaToya Moore
and Maya Dawson.
Let's get started.
Community, how you doing?
We're back.
Happy Saturday. Oh, and happy season 12, Toya.
Season 12. Oh, I'm so excited about this season.
Woo. Yes. It's gonna be a good one. I feel it. I feel it in my bones. I feel like honestly, each season gets better and better. Like we get more confident and our gel, you know, is there. The guests get better and more better. So we're excited to be here, y'all. So yes, how is everybody doing? How you doing?
I'm doing okay. Mm-hmm. This week has been full. Mm. I feel like it's been heavy, career, work-wise. Mm-hmm. School-wise, yeah. All the things, mm-hmm. And I have been learning to rebalance. Got some comp days in there. I do have, this is Saturday, so Friday is my mm-hmm. comp day, my self-care day that I am being very strategic in.
Amen.
Utilizing at mm-hmm. least once a month, yes. Sometimes twice a month, because yes. I have a few comp days left. Mm-hmm. But being more intentional yeah. at self-care, even though my plate is extremely full, and then asking God how to shift things, rebalance, and not pour all my energy and time into all of these other things, and just finding innovative ways to get things done. As I'm finishing my tier 2 leadership specialist degree, it's like I can see the light at the end of the tunnel.
Hold on, sugar, it's coming.
And so that's nice to be able to say I'm almost done. Just mm-hmm. hold on, keep going. And then work can be stressful. It's a lot of pressure. My role and supporting the 3 schools that I do support. So that is a stressful position. And then of course being a mom of 4 kids and all the things, I'm just learning how to still try to get into self-care, still walk and exercise when I can, and making it make sense for yeah. my life. I know this is a season of like a lot of grit. So I'm just trying to do one day at a time.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where I am.
That's all you can do. But I'm super proud of you for prioritizing self-care, because that's the only way any of everything else that you said, that's the only way any of that's going to get done, is if you prioritize self-care. Like, yeah. Seriously. So I'm glad that you working your comp days and getting your Fridays in. Like, that's really important.
Yes,
really
important. It's absolutely needed. Mm-hmm. Like, I knew this was gonna be a hard semester. Mm-hmm. And it is hard. I'm not gonna lie, it's a lot. Mm-hmm. It's very, very hard. But I feel like God is showing me what days to yeah. Kind of relax on, mm-hmm. when to take it up, relax, take it up, relax, rest, mm-hmm. take it up. Like, it's an ebb and flow to it. And that's it's good. Not 100% all the time, like I typically do, mm-hmm. but I am learning the ebbs and flows of it. Mm-hmm. And I know one of my friends, she was like, well, you did this to yourself. I'm like, I know that, but I cannot help to it be like exceed. I can't help it. It's in my DNA. That's who I am. Like, if this is the goal, mm-hmm. I'm going to do what I can to achieve it. I can't mm-hmm. cannot be like my counterparts and slack and just be okay with it. I can't help it. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's like, it's not that I'm a perfectionist. I have a lot of drive. And if I have a goal, I'm going to try to achieve it no matter what. I'm going to try to figure out how to achieve it. And I'm still trying to like figure out like where I take, like, where do I relax and where do I go?
Yeah. It's a delicate dance. It's a delicate dance. And I will say this. I don't think there's anything wrong with having drive. I challenge you, though, just as I challenge myself, just as I challenge our BE community. Really ask the Lord. Take the time to ask the Lord the motives behind your drive. It's one thing to be driven because it's like, this is purpose. This is what God has called me to do. And this is for a season. And he's graced me to do it. So I'm going to do it. But if in some cases you find you're doing it because you're trying to prove something to yourself or to others or to get acceptance, like, that's when it's like, okay, let me take a step back and reevaluate. So, and again, I don't say that just to you. I say that to myself because I'm constantly asking myself those questions. And I say it to our BE community because it's just super important to make sure that you are rooted and grounded in having an identity that's in Christ first and foremost, and realizing that you don't have to earn God's love. I've been telling myself constantly over the past couple of weeks, you have nothing to prove. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like you work hard and you work as unto the Lord, you know, which, and honestly, these days seems like the Lord is requiring less of me than everybody else around me, quite honestly. But you're working as unto the Lord and not for anyone else, regardless of who signs your paycheck. That's just who God is choosing in that moment to provide for you. So just make sure that you are being attentive to the Lord and open to him revealing whatever your motives are. Because again, there's nothing wrong with being driven, being motivated, being a hard worker. Just know that you can only sustain that, but for so long.
Right.
And honestly, outside of the grace of God, you can't sustain it at all. So it's really important to make sure that, you know, you're doing what you're doing for the Lord, because only he can grace you and breathe on it and sustain you in the midst of it. So,
yes. Yeah. And I'm not going to share that other part, but you already know.
Yep.
That I think that's part of it. Why I'm so energized is because I know what God has called me
to. Amen.
And he has showed me things and dreams and confirmed some things.
Yeah.
And so that energizes me.
Amen.
And it gives me like that extra, like, supernatural energy.
Yeah.
To say, I can do this.
That's how you know.
Because God is in it.
Amen. That's the only way we can do it. You know? Because, I mean, literally, these past several months, and y'all heard us, I mean, literally season 11 from the beginning was a struggle. Like, I felt like we were on a struggle bus all season. It did not ease up. We were like, okay, Lord, what are you doing? You know? But it was just a constant, nope, keep going. I got you. Nope, keep going. I got you. And so I will say, for me, over the holidays, I was really intentional where it was like, I'm not going nowhere, but I'm taking my time and I'm going to do what I want to do, if that's nothing at all, because I need to slow down. And so I took that time, hung out with family, hung out with friends, rested, like really just enjoyed the time. And it was a quiet, slow time. And I'm so, so grateful for that. And guess what? When I went back to work was waiting on me. It was like, boom, tag, you it. And I'm like, really? Really? But God continues to sustain. And even in the midst of me being still and really being intentional about seeking God and in the quiet over the holidays, I was like, God, you got to show me like what is next, because I refuse to be caught up in the rat race, so-called, where it's just like, you get up, you go to work, you come home, you cook dinner, you watch TV, you do it all over again. It's like, nope, 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 nope. I know you've called me for a purpose. I know you've called me for a time such as this. If that's what this season needs to look like right now, that's fine. But you show me what I need to be working towards, what steps I need to be taking, so that this is not my future. It may be my present, but it does not have to be my future. And so I'm grateful because he has done just that. He's really, like you were saying, that energized feeling where in the midst of, okay, yes, my day was cray cray, but I'm working on purpose tonight. I'm working on purpose this weekend. And I know that as long as I'm working on purpose, that my present will not be my future. Like literally. So you got to find what that is and be intentional about going after it, because the devil will steal your time. He will steal your time and he will get you caught up into thinking, oh, this is just it. This is just going to be the rest of your life. Everybody else is, this is what they do. They work the same job for 40 years and then they retire and then they die. No, 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 no. God has more. God has more. So figure out what it is and go after it.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's how we doing, y'all. That's how our holidays are. That's all of it. That's all of it. You have anything else you want to share before we dive into, you know, what's trending?
Holidays, I relax with my family. Mm-hmm. I knew this season was coming. I was like, I'm going to watch movies.
Yes, absolutely.
I'm gonna eat desserts and all kinds. I just had a good time over the holidays. So I loved, I love spending family time.
Yes.
Christmas, all of the traditions, Christmas movies, Christmas pajamas, cookies, sleeping in with the kids.
Yes. And,
you know, they like to get in our bed. Like, it was nice. Amen. It was nice. And then it was like, and we're back.
Exactly. And we're back. We're back. But I'm glad you took that time. I love the holidays too. Like, I'm always sad when it's time to take the tree down and take the decorations down. I'm like, I don't wanna get back to life and reality. But you know, God sustains us even in the midst of that. So, yes. But y'all, we missed, it was a lot of stuff that happened while we were on break. So I feel like this premiere, we're going to be kind of playing catch up. So excuse us if you didn't heard some of this stuff, if you didn't seen some of these clips, guess what? You ain't heard our perspective. So we got to weigh in. We got to weigh in like everybody else, and then we will move on to some other stuff, I promise. But yes. Let's talk about what's trending. So
what's
first
trending?
Okay, if you've been on social media, some of y'all been fasting social media. I know I really haven't been on social media. So some of y'all may not have heard any of these. But anyways, over the holidays, a certain first lady was viral because of a certain dress that she wore to a fundraiser. So let's talk about Pastor Carrie Bryant and the dress. We got a clip for you.
Here we go.
Don't look at his house. Don't look at his car. Look at his wife. And anybody who looks at my wife will think I'm a billionaire. Because of the richness of her personality, the wealth of her character, and the spans of her beauty. I look at my children to know that all of them are thriving and doing well, are acutely in tune with their intellect and in their beauty. I am absolutely rich.
Wow. Welcome back. All hour long, we are talking with members of the Tam Fam who dedicated their lives to using their voices to inspire and motivate others. We're here still with Pastors Jamal and Carrie Bryant. And that was a clip from Jamal's super popular and very, very coveted podcast.
People, it is now.
It is now. People love the words. They
Thank
love
you.
The honesty.
Thank you.
When I asked you to come on the show, the dress moment had not happened yet.
No. Yes.
I got off the plane from Florida, and I felt like, I actually said to myself, what in the world, what is God using my show for to talk about this dress moment?
Yeah.
So for those who don't know, you attended a beautiful event that I've attended before, the Mayor's Mask Ball.
Yes.
It's a fundraiser gala for HBCUs, and you wore a black lace flesh tone dress. This is the dress. The internet has not a week later stopped talking about this dress.
Yeah.
So let me start, I want to unpack it from the beginning. Who picked out the dress?
Oh, she picked it out.
You picked out the dress.
Yes.
Because your words have since gone viral about the dress as well.
Yes.
So you pick out the dress.
Yeah.
What was it about the dress? Because it's a statement. And you know you are a pastor and a first lady.
Sure.
When you saw that dress, you said yes to the dress.
Yes.
What was it about the dress?
I loved the design of the dress. I loved the creativity of the dress. For me personally, I thought that the dress was fully covered. It's interesting.
It is fully covered.
Yeah, I felt
well,
like
it was... Well, the underlay.
Yes.
It's a sheer
Yeah, leg. I felt like it was fully covered. I showed it to my husband.
Were he you in it. The dress when he saw it first? Or was
no.
it hanging? The dress on the hanger is one thing. You put the dress on, it's another thing. It brings on a new life.
Sure.
She walks out of the room in the dress.
Yes.
Before the event, was the first time you saw her in the dress?
Yes.
What'd you think?
Why do we need to leave? I thought she was drop dead gorgeous, but it doesn't matter what my wife has on, it's always gonna be top tier. She is just amazing in everything that she puts on, and I thought it was complimentary and alluring, and I thought it was magisterial in every way. I didn't think it was controversial. I thought it was great.
Did you have even a sliver of doubt before you walked out to go to the event about the dress and that it might create a stir?
No, I actually thought that the dress was too dark because I typically don't like to wear black. And so my only thinking was, oh, maybe it's too dark. When we were having me be fit for it, the seamstress will tell you the thing that I was most concerned about was making sure that I was covered at the top. And so the only thing really that you could see is my shoulders because I had on gloves. This was sheer. And then, of course, everything else before. So there honestly was nothing in my spirit. And I'm very mindful about what I put on. There was nothing in me that checked me, that alarmed me, that alerted me, that made me feel like anything was wrong. The dress I felt was very appropriate for the occasion. We were not at a church event. We were at a black tie gala for which we've gone to every year. We've been a partner with UNCF in Atlanta. And so we were excited to dress up and to go. So there was nothing in me that made me say, I've been reading things where people have said, oh, you know, she knew it right. would get this reaction. My ego is not that big. Wow. I don't dress for people. I dress for myself and for my husband. I am a wife. Yeah. I'm a wife. I'm a daughter. I have a doctorate. I'm a professor. There are plenty of things that I do. And the challenge is we often want to see a woman be one-dimensional. I am multi-dimensional. I carry multiple titles. Now, what you choose to call me on whatever day is fine for whatever that might be. But I think that there is this idea that a woman can only be one thing. Mm-hmm. And once I happened to marry a pastor, I happened to fall in love with a man who is a pastor, right? Mm-hmm. And so with that came the title of First Lady. But there is no book for that. There is no manual for what that looks like. And I have decided that the title does not define me. I define what the title is. Mm. It may not look like what people are accustomed to seeing it look like, and that's okay. It's okay that many people were not fond of the dress. I'm not upset that people don't like it. We all like different things. The challenge for me is, as believers, when we see someone have on something or do something that we are not fond of, how do we navigate that space when God is watching? Yeah. So do we crucify them? Do we publicly humiliate them? Do they become prostitutes and all of these other things? Right.
And I think that's that. So to that point, you responded on the pulpit because it had turned into this viral media thing. From the mainstream media, like People Magazine, to people on TikTok, they were saying things all the way down. And you responded. Let me play it.
Now, they didn't say anything about the $4 million that was raised for the United Negro College Fund. But insecure, jealous, petty, small-minded... people got in their feelings and set up a false barometer of holiness based off of a dress. The dress was not see-through. The dress was flesh color. I need to set the record straight. I bought the dress. And I like it. I don't care whether you like it or not. She ain't married to y'all. She married to me.
You were clearly upset.
Yes.
you took it to the church. You took it to, if you played for the Knicks, you took it to Madison Square Garden.
Yes.
Why did you go to the pulpit?
Because it became in public space. The theologian said that you ought to have a Bible in one hand and a newspaper in another. And so I thought it was prudent for me to address it. But what people are missing is that that was 2 minutes of a 40-minute sermon. And that it was not the full crux of what the message was, but talked about the disparity and the sanctified misogyny that happens within the church, of setting up a standard of holiness just on how women dress, but no standard about how men ought to dress. Yeah. And I put in that I like it, that this is not a uncovered woman.
No.
It's not an unprotected woman. This is a woman whose husband likes it, so why do you care?
Right.
And so I think that people got to get through their own insecurity and their own frailty, that what people presume to be out of place and out of order in their own eyes, you don't have to always type.
Right.
You can just keep scrolling and keep going and say, I don't like the dress.
More with Pastor Jamal and Carrie Bryant. This show.
Y'all, I know that was a long clip, but the Bryants, I wanted you to see all of it so you could understand not just the situation, get the context around it, hear their responses. I feel like there are so many different nuances to this situation. So I was like, and I wanted you to hear it directly from them because, yeah, they had a lot to say. So, yeah, what did you think, Toya? What did you think about Pastor Carrie Bryant and the dress?
Well, there are so many angles to dissect from the pastor's response to the way that she defended herself, to the actual dress itself, and to women, and how I feel like sometimes when beautiful women are in the church and let's just say they have a role where they are seen a lot.
Yeah.
Or they're on the praise team or whatever. I feel like we are hard on on women.
Oh yeah.
In the way that we dress and present ourselves.
Yeah.
Now I grew up Pentecostal. So
bless you.
Yes. It was a lot of you can't wear makeup and jewelry, and women can't wear pants and dresses had to be down to your ankle and all the things. Over the years, they kind of relaxed on some of those things. Like even when I, you know, go home, they've relaxed on a lot of those things, the church that I grew up in. But still, I feel like even growing up, the standards for women, I feel like are always, were always harder.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
And it's like that double standard too. And don't let you be pretty either.
Exactly. Don't let you be flat or have some curves.
Yeah. Have some curves. Mm-hmm. Like have body.
Yeah.
And you can't wear anything that's fitted. I remember my parents used to buy me clothes that were like
baggy
two sizes too big to kind of cover my shape. I didn't wear I didn't start wearing like fitted clothing until college, and my friends were like, let's go shopping before you go out with us, ma'am. You know, coming from Springfield, Missouri, you know, little Midwestern country girl wearing these baggy clothes.
Yeah.
And they were like, girl, like, you got this body for one time. You're this size. And like, you know, they helped me kind of boost my confidence in being a woman. So I really hate the double standards. I hate that the church is so hard on people of status.
Yeah.
Their eyes are always on them. I feel like they gave Megan Good a hard time too.
Oh yeah.
As well.
Yeah.
And would I wear the dress?
That was going to be my question. Would you wear the dress?
I personally, for me, my preference and my taste, I would not.
Okay.
For me, because but it looked great on her. I'm not, I'm like, the curves, everything. It
She wore that dress.
She did.
I myself would not. I'm self-conscious about my bust area as well. And over time, it's gotten bigger. And I feel like anytime it's accented in any way, they look bigger. Now, I don't want that attention in that area. So that's just my own personal preference. And then I know Ryan, he probably would have been like, where are you going?
I was
going
to say, would Ryan buy the dress or would he let you wear the dress? Like, you know, and I say let loosely, would he feel comfortable with you wearing the dress?
I don't think he would feel comfortable with me going out because of my skin tone and it being a flesh tone color, which has the appearance that... You know, even though she was fully covered,
she was fully covered,
but it does give the illusion that she was not. I don't feel like Ryan would be like, come on, babe. I personally don't like that kind of attention. If I saw that dress immediately in my mind, I would know what kind of attention it would bring. That's me, though. I don't.
Girl, that dress was fly, and I ain't gonna lie, I would wear that dress. That dress was cute. That dress was cute. It was, now I don't know if I would look the way she looked at it. I mean, she was like killing it. And I it didn't look like you said, she was fully clothed. It didn't look like she was in lingerie or it was see-through or anything. Of course, that nude material is meant to do that, but at the same time, you can look at the dress and know that she's fully clothed. So I didn't have a problem with the dress per se. Now, what I will say is, though, and just like we were talking about earlier, God sees the heart. Motives. Motives, 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 motives. And really, honestly, I'm more concerned with her husband's motives than I am with hers. He said on multiple occasions in that clip, I bought the dress. This is my wife. I wanted people to look at her. I wanted people to know who was on my arm. I wanted people to know who... I'm like, okay, what are we doing, sir? Like, are we using our wife to cause other people to stumble, to lust after? Like, what are we doing here? To me, that is like a secular, fleshly, worldly mentality, you know, where, you know, you like, look who's on my arm. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't take pride in your wife, and I'm not saying that your first lady or your wife should not look beautiful and be of great appearance when you all are going out. But when you intentionally want all eyes to be on her, and not because of her beauty, but even with the potential of people staring at her body or looking at her in a lustful way, that to me is not, that's not the Lord.
No. So it's like sending her out to the wolves.
Exactly.
Go ahead.
look what I got.
Look what I got.
That to me is a red flag. And I feel like, you know, to me, Pastor Brian has, that's his MO, like being flashy, wanting attention, wanting people to look, wanting people to admire, whether it's him or whether it's his clothes or whether it's his car or whether it's his church, like, look at me. And I just don't think that represents the character of Christ. So that's, to me, what I had a problem with. Not even the dress, not even the fact that she wore the dress, but to me, the motives spoke something different. And that's what kind of rubbed me the wrong way. And then I would say, too, because we know this, if you even want to call it a double standard, I would go as far to say that exists in a lot of churches where, you know, women have to be more mindful of what they're wearing than men, especially if they're on a platform or in a position of leadership or influence. You know that, especially in the Black church. And you know that everybody is going to be looking at Christians going, why are you wearing that? You always talking about modesty, or you always talking about saving. A lot of people that aren't saved really think Christians can't be fly, can't have fun. And so I get them probably trying to articulate or express that, but I feel like you can do that in a way that doesn't draw potentially lustful attention. So to me, that was the red flag. And because you're in the Black church, because you're a first lady, because you're on a platform, because you have influence, that's just the price you pay. That's just the toll you pay, where it's like, I can't dress like everybody else. And if I do, guess what? I'm not going to do it in a setting where everybody and their mama got a camera out. I'm just saying. I'm just saying. But I think for them, there was an element of intention behind that. And that's kind of what rubs me the wrong way.
The other thing that I did not like was him using the pulpit.
Yeah.
To defend her. I like that he defended her.
Yeah.
But I don't think the pulpit was the place to defend her. Like, do that on your podcast or a YouTube video or whatever. But that was New Year's service, New Year's Eve, I think.
Okay. That he defended
her. That he defended her.
Got it. Got it. Okay.
So I wouldn't have used it.
I'm like, we praying in the new year. What are we talking about your wife's dress? I'm trying to enter the year right. What are we doing?
So, right.
I get it. Anything else on Pastor Carey Bryant?
That's it. It's time to put the dress in the casket. I saw a meme that was like, okay, it's time to
let it go.
Let's bury it.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that they talked about it for weeks upon weeks and that it was on Tamron Hall. And I think somebody even said it was like on Access Hollywood or something. I'm like, wow, this like crossed a lot of lines. So, all right. So, yes, that's our take on the dress. In case you were wondering, we're going to move on to another hot topic that happened while we were out. And we got to weigh in on Drewski, our boy Drewski, a certain comedian who had a very controversial skit about the mega church. So let's talk about Drewski and the mega church.
Do you want a revolution? I'm gonna have Wanda stand up here. Wanda, please. Wanda told us earlier this month that she could not have a baby anymore. So I impregnated her with the word of God. I'm going to impregnate everyone with the word of God. You gonna get pregnant with the word of God. You gonna get pregnant with the word of God. You gonna get pregnant with the word of God. Impregnate. Impregnate. I had somebody in the congregation ask why I'm wearing Christian Dior and Christian Louboutins. Because I'm a Christian. And I walk in the blood of Jesus. Give him some praise. I'm a Christian first. And I walk in the blood of Jesus. Give him some praise. Give him some praise. So we are raising funds for a project in Zimbabwe. Yes, we are trying to get our congregation over in Africa. Amen. We wanted to raise $4 million for that. Amen. Yes. Hallelujah. That needs to appear today. We are not letting anyone leave until we reach our goal. Amen. Hallelujah. Life savings here. Give him some praise for that. Give it his life savings up. Apostle Richie says, baby, can you help me? I said, can you help me? I said, can you help me? I'm gonna finish this word here, and I'm gonna do the Christian version. Don't worry about it. I'm gonna do the Christian version. I'm driving this Bentley Bentayga, cause I believe in Christ. Can you leap on your legs like a survivor? Can you leap on your legs till the money fall out your pockets?
Jesus, you are.
Still praise the Lord.
I need you to pray for my wife. Hey, come on, man. Hey, get your hands off my car. You gave tithes and offering? No.
A mess.
Get your boy. Get your boy. Please get your boy. So clearly a lot of people, Christians, mind you, they was feeling some type of way about this skit.
He was stepping on all kind of toes.
He really did. But I'm just saying, okay, where's the lie? That's all I'm saying. Where's the lie? And I'm not talking about every mega church. But I mean, literally, a lot of what he said and did, like, literally was taken from the headlines over the past couple of years. Like,
the whole lock the doors.
Yes, real churches.
Nobody leave until I get that $4 million.
Real churches.
We church in Atlanta, right?
Yes, real churches. So I'm not mad at him. I'm not mad at him. I could see why people would feel some type of way, but to me, I'm like, if you feel some type of way, maybe you go to a church like that. Or maybe, I'm just saying, maybe.
If this offended you.
Or you've been to a church like
that? Then it might be your pastor.
I ain't gonna lie. I went to a church like that. I belonged to a church like that at some point. And I mean, not all of it, but like, I mean, we were huge on theatrics. And so like him hanging in the air.
Theatrics.
Yes. And y'all, Kirk was probably laughing at the video himself. But I was like, why you keep playing Kirk Franklin music? I love me some Kirk. So I'm like, but at the same time, you know, they feel like all of that kind of goes together where it's like, you know, we making all the money and keeping it for ourselves, or, you know, we hanging out in the air and we using all these gimmicks to take people's money. And
I'm like, give me your life savings. Oh, that's your life savings?
A mess. I ain't gonna lie though. Drewski got a shout out. I was like, okay, Drewski, got a shout, Drewski. Get it. He was shouting. Oh my gosh. So I'm just saying, if you found yourself offended, it might just be because he hit a little too close to home. That's all I'm saying. Now
I'm gonna defend my mega.
Well, that's what I was gonna say. Church. Not every mega church is like that.
I go to Word of Faith.
Yeah.
And my pastor is Bishop Bronner.
Amen.
And he does not.
Yeah, I go to a mega church too. It is not currently today, and it is not like now. I've been to mega churches and belonged to another mega church where it did kind of remind me of that. So again, you can. It's all kinds of churches out there. It's all kinds of churches out there. So just make sure you go on to one that's Bible believing, that is not all about, you know, image and appearance and putting on a show. Like really. Really invested in seeing the Lord move authentically in his people.
Man,
and
you could
experience that in a mega church. You could experience that in a not mega church, in a smaller church or what have you. But yeah, that's all I'm gonna say about that. You have anything else you want to say about Sir Drewski? Yes, I thought he did a good job though. And again, like you said, he stepped on everybody's toes. Equal opportunity offender. And he didn't just do skits about Christian churches. He's done skits about Black Hebrew Israelites. He's done other skits about other denominations.
So equal opportunity.
People. Exactly. So I'm like, you can't take it personal. If you're taking it personal, it might just be because, again, like I said, it's hitting a little too close to home.
Stepping
so
on toes.
I think it really, if anything, it's a charge to the church to just make sure we not like that. You know what I mean? Wait, make sure they not like us. Make sure we not like them. Okay. So for real. All right. So the last thing that I want to talk about as far as what's trending is our girl Teyana Taylor. Now I'm gonna set this one up. She has been everywhere. If you don't know who Teyana Taylor is, she's an incredibly talented, multi-hyphenate, interdisciplinary artist. I mean, she sings, she dances, she acts. I think she raps, she models. I mean, she has been everywhere. And she's honestly been in the game since she was like a teenager. But like, this is just her season. Like, literally, this is just her season. She was in the movie One Battle After Another, recently won an award for that. That movie is up for Oscars, getting Oscar buzz. She's in another movie with like Matt Damon, Ben Affleck. The movie One Battle After Another, she was playing opposite Leonardo DiCaprio and, you know, Benicio Del Toro. Like, she is like playing opposite some heavy hitter, Sean Penn. Like, this is really her time. And so
did she start off in that Tyler Perry one where she was like,
yes,
Ryan!
She was in that.
Was that her?
Yes, that was her. She also, y'all may not remember this, but really, she was in a video with Kanye West. I know that's a bad word around these days. We're not trying to say that. But anyway, she was also in a music video with Kanye West dancing her tail off. This had to have been maybe like 10 years ago. But I mean, like, literally, she's been in the game for 20 something years since she was a teenager. And right now it's just her time. It's just her time. And so she just hosted SNL. I mean, she's doing the thing, all the things. So she just won a Golden Globe. So we're going to listen to her speech. She does profess to be a Christian, grew up in the church, actually had a really dope interview where she was interviewed by a choir. But I just want us to listen to her speech. And we're going to talk a little bit about, Teyana Taylor.
Oh my God, I almost didn't even write a speech because I didn't think I would get this. Oh, my babies. My babies are upstairs watching. Y'all better be off them damn phones and watching me right now. Oh my God. First, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you and I praise you for every part of this faith walk, every lesson, every test, and every blessing. Thank you to the Golden Globe voters for seeing me and reminding me that purpose always finds this moment. To my mommy and my daddy, it's up for y'all anytime. I love y'all so much. Thank you for being here with me tonight. To my tribe, oh my God, my grounding force, my joy, my daily reminder that love is an action, not just a word. And everything I do is rooted in that truth. To Paul, let him cook, Thomas Anderson. Thank you for your vision, your trust, and your brilliance. My gratitude is endless. I love you. We love you. And thank you so much for holding space for me and our entire cast, Leo, Sean, Benicio, Chase, Regina, everybody, the crew, every single person who has touched this project. None of this is taken lightly, and none of this is taken for granted. Pam, Mike, Warner Brothers, Sarah, Cassandra, Natina, Lee, WME, this whole journey would not exist without you and your support. I love you and I thank you so much. And last but most importantly, to my brown sisters and little brown girls watching tonight, our softness is not a liability. Our depth is not too much. Our light does not need permission to shine. We belong in every room we walk into. Our voices matter and our dreams deserve space. Thank you so much, everybody. Thank you.
All right. So, yes, congratulations. Teyana Taylor is killing the game right now. Really inspired by her speech, too. So, first off, just want to see if you have any thoughts about her speech, and then we'll kind of get into it.
There were some really great moments in the speech that stood out to me for the brown girls. Mm-hmm. And our light doesn't need permission to shine.
Amen.
And our voices. And we belong in the room. And then there's another part that she said about our purpose. What did she say? Purpose? There's always a plan for your purpose.
Amen.
And like stepping into that. Mm-hmm. So she said some really inspiring things.
Yeah.
So yeah, congratulations.
Yeah. I mean, you can tell she grew up in a church. She has that background, you know, and even when she was interviewed, Vanity Fair had a gospel choir interview her. And she told them, she was like, I'm not ready yet, but I'm going to do a gospel album. I'm going to do a gospel album. And so I'm not going to lie. At first, I kind of felt some type of way where I was like, what do you mean you're not ready yet? Like, are you just saying I need to be out here wilding for a little more long, you know, for a little while longer before I like get serious? But at the same time, I did respect her honesty about where she was. But it's evident there's a call on her life. It is evident that God has really chosen her for a time such as this. And so I guess my question becomes, as women of God, you know, like, what would we tell Teyana Taylor, you know, if she was sitting right here in this chair, if she was on the show and we're talking to her about just this season that she's in, like, what words of wisdom do you feel like we could or should give Teyana Taylor in this season that she's in?
I would say to silence the noise of the critics, because she is such a public figure and she has declared that she is a believer, Satan's gonna come after her with
facts.
All he has, and he's gonna try to take her out because of her platform and her influence. And so I would tell her to get into her word, get into her prayer, closet and really get intimate with God in this season, because the devil's gonna come after you with all he has because of who you are and your influence and the position of influence you have and how you have been declaring God's name. Every time I see her get an award, she's thanking God. And, you know, she may slip in a few cuss words here and there, but she's declaring God's name. Mm-hmm. And sometimes as believers, I feel like we don't give people grace when they are on that journey and finding their way. Like, we didn't just wake up and just be saved all day.
Yeah,
she is doing this walk in public, in the public eyes. And so you're gonna slip up, you're gonna make mistakes, you know, you're not gonna always get it right, but the thing about grace is that you pick yourself up and you ask God for forgiveness and you keep going. So silence the noise, because it's gonna be a lot of critics all the time out there.
And there already are, I'm sure. I would say definitely along those lines of, you know, making sure that she's taking time to really lean into the Lord in this season. But I would say protect your anointing. Like, it is obvious that there is a calling on her life, and there has been since she was a child. I mean, when she was getting interviewed with by the choir with Vanity Fair, she said, like, she remembered being a child and, like, you know, having the hood boys from the street, you know, over, and she's like teaching them the word of God. I'm like, that's not normal. You know what I'm saying? Like, that right there, that's calling. That right there is purpose, for you to be able to get an audience with the people off the block and have them really like, yo, I need to give my life to Christ. Yeah, you do. Like, so I would say at all costs, protect your anointing, because in this season, especially, like you said, the devil's going to throw everything he has at you to distract you, to cause you to compromise. And so, like, be clear, ask the Lord what boundaries you need to put in place. You know, I think my husband and I were talking about Denzel Washington and how, you know, he would go to industry parties and he'd be like, yeah, I'd leave before the devil shows up. So it's like, if it's like, okay, I'm gonna show up, but, you know, come 10 o'clock or come at 11 o'clock or come midnight, I'm throwing up the deuces, or, you know, or just making sure you have a circle of people around you that will keep you grounded, that are authentic, that aren't yes people, that aren't just gonna co-sign your foolishness. You know what I'm saying? Like, making sure that you have certain safeguards in place now, so that if you try to lose your mind, or when you try to lose your mind, you know, they could kind of snatch you back a little bit, be like, wait a minute, you know. So really just being intentional about that, because the brighter your light shines, the bigger your platform becomes, that target on your back grows even bigger. And the devil is like, oh yeah, I see her. Let me take her out, you know, let me take her out, or let me distract her, you know, or let me throw this at her or throw that at her, you know. So really just being intentional now, as your platform continues to grow and as your light continues to shine brighter and brighter and brighter, about what those boundaries are, what those non-negotiables are, who to have around you, so that you have that extra layer of support and accountability. It's just so important. I've seen and heard time after time after time, you know, and even in our own personal lives, like, you know, it's easier to stay disciplined and stay on your face when you grinding and you trying to make it to the top. But when you get to the top, or when things are going great and you can't figure out, like, what you want or what you need anymore, because it seems like you have it and God has answered all your prayers, you kind of start to let your guard down a little bit. And that grind or that grit that we were talking about earlier, it kind of goes away, because you're like, well, I'm here now. And it's like, okay, the devil's like, yeah, you here now. Go ahead, let that guard down. Let your hair down a little bit. Go ahead and try this. Go ahead and dabble in that. You good? And before you know it, you're backslidden, or you're compromised, or you're figuring out, how did I get here? So really be intentional about what those boundaries need to look like, and just make sure that you have people around you to help keep you grounded in Christ and who he's called you to be. So shout out to Tiana Taylor. Prayers up for Tiana Taylor. And yeah, just keep watching her, because I feel like I feel like God wants to use her in this season. And like you said, his grace is sufficient. I just want her to continue to grow in her walk and who he's called her to be.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, anything yes, else yes. on what's trending?
I think we've caught up on all the big stuff.
That was a lot. That was a lot. So, yes. So, that's what's trending. Let's talk a little bit about top picks. Like, what have you been into these last few weeks, you know, or as you're in the top of the year? Anything that you've been watching, reading, consuming, doing, anything?
Well, since I started back in my tier two leadership program, I've been reading this book, and it's about reframing your perspectives.
Okay.
And so to me, it's about putting on your rose colored sunglasses when you are looking at situations and problems, and you're trying to reframe perspectives to help determine solutions.
Yeah.
And so that's what I've been sitting in and really meditating on is how to reframe perspectives, because every person has like this certain way that they're going to look at things, whether they come at it from a structural or cultural or political eye. And so you have to be mindful of those different perspectives from all the people in the room and how to reframe things.
That's so good.
To get to the solution.
That's so good.
So that's what I've been reading. And it's something that I think I can apply in every area of my life.
Yeah.
So like Mason's coloring on the walls. You might say he's going to be the next Picasso.
Okay.
You know, like it's reframe what's going on into a positive thing. So reframe it.
That's good.
So that's what I've been learning. Good.
Do you remember like who the book is by?
Not off the top of my head.
If not, maybe put it in the chat.
I'll put it in the chat.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a really thick book. And let me tell you, the first paragraph talks about Donald Trump the insurrection and stuff.
Oh, wow.
So I was like, what does he have us reading? But after you get past some of the first part and you really start getting into the nitty gritty and like the reason why he was dissecting that and just talking about like the people in leadership and the people that's under the leaders and how you have to move and navigate different situations. And it's really good.
Okay. That's what's up. All right. Good stuff. Anything else you want to listen?
That's the main thing. I think I already told you we watched The Rip, but we try to do, you know, our Friday night, relax, watch a movie. So not any like series, TV series or anything, right?
How was The Rip? I haven't seen it yet.
It was really good.
Okay. I saw one battle after another because I was preparing for the Golden Globes, and I enjoyed that. It was, it was a good balance of drama and comedy, you know, and I thought everybody carried their roles well. But The Rip, you enjoyed. That's more action, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah.
Yep. And then this new TV show we started called like The Memory of a Killer.
I want to see that.
It's actually pretty interesting. I think it's Alzheimer's that he has,
or dementia or something.
He's like a hitman.
I saw the preview of that and I was like, I want to see that. I had been fasting television the first couple weeks of the year just to kind of hone in, because I will go down some rabbit holes. Television to me is food, sleep, television. Those three right there can easily be vices for me. And so I have to like monitor them and set boundaries around them, you know, because I'll be like, well, I ain't drinking or smoking or cussing. And God's like, yeah, but you got some other stuff going on. You get it together. So, but yes, I had that on my list too. So good to know. It looked good. It reminded me of, I don't know if you saw this movie. It was like maybe 10 years old or so, called Mr. Brooks. But it's Kevin Costner. He's a serial killer. by night or in his alternate life, but he's like literally just won like citizen of the year or something, like very well established family man, businessman. But it literally, you see it through the lens as an addiction, where it's almost like he cannot help but to, like, you know, he has this urge every now and then that he has to, like, where he has to just kind of cleanse himself, if you will. So it made me think of that. But all that to say, good to know. I'll add that to my list. Okay, so for me, top picks. I really, again, I've had no choice in this season but to lean into God and really be intentional about getting up when he says get up, pray when he says pray. And I'm unapologetic on my job throughout the day, whatever I need to do, because I'm in survival mode. If I'm honest, I'm like, I'm just trying to make it, y'all. And the only way I know how to make it is through prayer.
Yeah.
so that, you know, leading into God, you know, praying for the people, you know, that I feel like are, you know, giving me challenges, even like really being intentional, where it's like, I'm going to lift them up in prayer because they know not what they do. They know not what they do. So yeah, so praying. But then I would also say, and you heard me talk about this earlier, like really being intentional about pursuing what God has called you to do. I am a planner. I'm a strategist. I could do that all day, all night in my sleep. And this year, I feel like God has been like, yeah, all of that's great, but I need you to move. It's time to move. It's time to take that plan or that thought or that idea or that dream or that goal that you've been kind of analyzing and trying to figure out and, you know, trying to strategize around and start taking steps. And trust that as you take one step, I'm going to put the next step in front of you. And I'm going to put the next step in front of you and show you where to go and what to do and give you the people to talk to and the resources to do it. So that has been a bit interesting. But at the same time, like you were saying, I feel the Lord's grace. And I know in the midst of everything else going on, like, I'm supposed to be doing this. I'm supposed to be taking these steps. So I'm just going to take the steps and trust God with the results and the outcome. Like, I can't control any of that. What I can control is my obedience. And so I'm going to be obedient to what God has told me to do, what he's called me to do. I'm going to put one foot in front of the other and consistently take those steps. And I'm going to trust him to breathe on whatever he's asking me to do, because I can't control the outcome. So I'm just going to be obedient, yes, and trust him with it. So, yeah, so that's my top pick as well. And I think that's it. I do want to give a shout out to our girl, Latrinka. She had an amazing beginning of the year gathering for women, and it was called Tea and Testimonies. And so really enjoy just coming out, being around other women. I will say that's another top pick for me. I'm trying to be intentional about going out more and socializing. Y'all have heard me say, if I want to be, I could be a homebody. And God has been like, well, when somebody asks you to do something, I want you to try to say yes, you know, especially if you know, you're available, your schedule permits, like, stop making excuses, like, just step out of your comfort zone and say yes. So I'm so glad that I went. It was coordinated with the women's ministry at her church. Shout out to City Takers. There were some other women there from Track Stars, Shania Mache, who was on our season finale for last season, was there. Our girl Crystal, that you've experienced, friend of the BE community as well. You know, some other familiar faces. Pastor Tammy, we've interviewed her. This is her church that we're talking about. She was there. And so I thought Latrinka did an amazing job of just kind of setting the stage for 2026. And what I love is she asked us to look back first at 2025 and give God praise and thanks for what he's done in 2025. And I felt like that was an amazing exercise, because you've heard us talk, like, 2025 was very challenging, but at the same time, God brought us through. At the same time, God sustained us. At the same time, God used it to propel us and even propel us forward into our purpose and into our calling and what we're supposed to be focused on. So a lot to be grateful for. And so she actually at the end shared this acronym for tea. And I immediately thought about Becoming Eve, because, you know, we be sipping tea with BE. Okay. Yep. That's what we do. We sip and tea with BE. So I just want to read this acronym and just the words of encouragement that go with them. So the TNT is trust. And this is inspired by Hannah, Ruth, and Mary. And this is a declaration. So I want you to declare this over your life, just like I declared it over mine. I was like, oh, I'm saving this, Latrinka. So I declare that I trust God with my whole heart. I release my worries, my future, my unanswered prayers into his hands. Like Hannah, I pour out my heart to the Lord. Like Ruth, I remain faithful wherever God leads me. Like Mary, I say, let it be unto me according to your word. I trust God's timing, his plan, and his promises over my life. And scriptural references for that are 1 Samuel 1, verse 27, Ruth 1, verse 16, and Luke 1, verse 38. And then the E in T stands for established, inspired by Esther, Deborah, and the Proverbs 31 woman. B-E. I declare that I am established by God for such a time as this. Amen. I walk in courage, wisdom, and strength. Like Esther, I rise boldly in my assignment. Like Deborah, I lead with confidence and godly authority. I am clothed with strength and dignity, secure in who God has called me to be. I am rooted, grounded, and established in the Lord. And that is taken from the book of Esther, chapter 4, verse 14, Judges, chapter 4, verse 4, and Proverbs 31, verse 25. And then the A in T stands for anointed. That's inspired by Mary Magdalene, the Samaritan woman, and the woman with the issue of blood. I declare that I am anointed, healed, and restored by Jesus. My past no longer defines me. By faith, I reach out and receive wholeness. Like the Samaritan woman, my testimony will draw others to Christ. Like Mary Magdalene, I walk in freedom and devotion. I am anointed to live boldly and to share what God has done in my life. That is taken from the book of Luke, chapter 8, verse 2, John, chapter 4, verse 29, Mark, chapter 5, verse 34. So in declaration, putting them all together, we declare that we are women who trust God, are established in his purpose, and anointed to walk in faith, freedom, and boldness. As we gather in community, we honor God with our lives and our testimonies and our trust in him. Amen.
Sam,
I hope you all were able to share in that declaration as well, but it was so powerful. I wanted to share it during our premiere. So,
yes. Well, thank you for sharing. And as always, make sure you support us by getting your merch at becomingevatoday.com. Yes. Get your mugs, your jackets, your t-shirts, your slides, your totes, all the things. And don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel.
Please, yes.
Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and X at Becoming Eva Today. Thank yes. you to all of our subscribers. Yes. We're almost to 500.
The Lord has been moving. I don't know what happened. I feel like it's our Track Stars family, because the last couple of weeks is the numbers been inching up, and we haven't really been posting anything. Y'all know we've been on break. So thank y'all for subscribing. Please continue to subscribe. We're almost at 500. Help us get to 500. We're like, I think yes. like 7 or 8 away, you know, and February is a great time. I'm going to tell y'all, in February, we're going to be talking about showing some love to yourself, your friends, your family, your boo, your community, all the above. Okay. So it's going to be a good one. It's going to be a really, really good one. So we'll see you next time.
We will see you soon.
Bye.
Don't forget to like us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Click subscribe on YouTube and subscribe to the podcast.
Check us out at becomingevatoday.com
or email us at eva.